Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you done with your croissant?
I am. I apologize for those that are listening. I was stuffing my face with the few minutes I had left. My almond croissant.
It's early for a Saturday.
You know, it kind of feels early, but I think that's just because we were in the holidays. We had a couple days off. It's like this weird extended weekend. Vacation weekend.
Staycation.
Staycation. That's true. Yeah, our families are both here, so we don't do a lot of traveling around the holidays, which is nice for us. Keeps it simple.
So if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. My wife is with me today. As usual, one time during the month, we bless you with her presence.
Aw, you're going to be nice to me today.
That's all you get. So, a couple updates. We had, what do we have? What has been going on? What a week, huh? So, the Gene Winfield fundraiser, I think that went off very well. Again, I don't know. I wasn't really part of the structure behind it, but I was there, and the car show was fantastic, and I think they did really well with all the donations and the support and the fundraising, so that went really well for Gene Winfield over at Daniel's Woodland. And yep. We'll bring that up here shortly because we have some stuff coming up next Saturday. But also Feeding Paso, we were just talking to Diane here a few minutes ago. She said it was over 1,000 meals served.
Impressive.
Something like 1,500 meals served. And there was a little bit of a shortage of volunteers. So put it on your calendar right now. If you're looking for something to do on Christmas Day, maybe everyone else is cooking. That's what I did. I just got out of the kitchen. I'm like, oh, I'll go hang out over there for a few hours while everyone's making food. That's a good way to skip the in-laws. She's not listening. I think she missed
I
that
just,
one.
I wasn't sure oh, what to say.
I think I got that one by you, but I guess I didn't.
I thought we were being nice to each other. And I can't say anything about your mother because we know she's listening. Love you, Kim.
What would you say anyway? What are you going to say about my mama? So it's a good thing. You're helping out and it gets you out of the kitchen. And let's, you know, the more skilled people do the turkey cooking because I'm just in the way anyway. So,
but it's really nice that you go and do that because honestly, I stay at home with my parents and I prep and I cook for our Thanksgiving and Jimmy gets to go volunteer at Centennial for Thanksgiving. It's really nice.
Lots
it's a really
people.
Nice experience. He always has fun.
So my point is, yeah, put it on your calendar, volunteer. I think there's like 30 something volunteers that didn't make it this year. So there's always something that happens. There's a waiting list that you can be put on. So when people don't show up, you can take their spot.
Who do you talk to volunteer?
You go to the Feeding Paso website, and it's all pretty easy from there. It's all online. You don't call nobody. You have to do it on the computer. So.
All right. Good to know.
But yeah, put it on your calendar. That way you can help out. I recommend the Flow Team. That's where Diane and I were doing some dishes. But it's not what you think. It's a Flow Team. So there's a scraper, there's a washer, there's a rinser, there's a stacker. You know, then it goes in, it gets sanitized and then dried. So there's you're just doing one part of it. You're not like washing the dish from start to finish. But
and you get to shoot the breeze because you're not out with everyone. So you
guys shoot the breeze.
Shoot the breeze.
What do you shoot it with?
Your mouth. Your words.
Okay. What? Good to know.
I didn't want to say the other word.
Sure. So next weekend.
Next weekend, we have multiple events going on.
Yeah, we got, of course, let's start with the big one. We have the Christmas Light Parade. That is next weekend, December 7th from 6 to 8.
Woo-woo!
The downtown park. So you'll see us. We have a float that is nowhere near being even started yet, but we'll have that ready to go by the end of the
week. It will be covered with lights and bells regardless.
It's already a week away. And the theme this year is
Jingle bells. Jingle all the way.
No. Try again.
It has to do with bells.
It's Sleigh Bells Ring. Are You Listening?
I knew I was close.
I guess it's not how you say it. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. So, Sleigh Bells Ring.
Are you listening?
There it is. See that? I knew you'd get it. So that's going to be the theme. I don't know what that means, but
it means have fun, do your best, and when we drive by along with everybody, wave and shout and say hi. Don't be reserved.
So I guess we need bells.
Don't be stunned by the lights.
We'll need to put bells on this one. I'll put a little bell on you.
Oh, I'm going to put bells everywhere, especially so when we go over those dips and bumps of our famous Paso streets, they're going to go ding, ling, 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 ling.
So we have that. That's next Saturday, 6 to 8 at the downtown park. We have the Christmas parade. Also, the Toy Bank Car Show fundraiser, that's at Daniel's Woodland, December 7th from 11 to 4. So
very good fundraiser.
A day chocked full of events, starting from 11 to 4 with the car show. You have just enough time to get home, get something to eat, and get back out downtown to see the Christmas parade. So
yeah,
that's going to be a nice Saturday.
Love the Toy Bank Car Show. They always have really fun trophies and events going on, too.
Yeah. So, speaking of Toy Bank, we also have a toy drive going on at the shop and with a few other local shops in the area. So, if you're looking for somewhere to donate some toys, you can come by the shop. We have a box set up, and we will be donating those at the end of the month.
Wrapped or unwrapped, we do not have any set criteria. We just want people to feel good about giving.
I have a few other shops here, but let me get to the phones. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning. The thing about Paso Robles is it's known for its volunteers, and you saw it there. But also, you should know that Thanksgiving for Paso Robles has no paid staff. It's all volunteers.
From
the steering committee to all the people that show up on Thanksgiving to put it on. And also, last night was a joint effort between Main Street and the city to light up the downtown, and it was magnificent. It was gorgeous. At 6 o'clock, the whole park lit up.
And they'll have those running for the rest of the month, correct?
Yes, Del. After New Year's Day.
Very cool.
They have a barbecue on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a great thing. Really lightens the park
have
up.
Have a good day.
Hey, thanks, Dale.
Bye.
Yeah, I saw pictures of the... oh my gosh, I'm just blanking on my words. The lighting up of the park. Pictures were absolutely beautiful, and it looked like there was quite a crowd going on.
So if you've been wondering when they're going to turn the lights on, there's your answer.
They're on. They're on now.
As of last night.
Every evening. So go take a stroll downtown.
So a few other, local shops that you can also donate toys to.
So this is put on by 805 Community Car Care Centers. There are a handful of participants. We are just one of them. We got Paso Robles Auto Repair, MD Auto, Spring Street on Mobile, Auto Limits.
Mobile on Spring Street.
Mobile, what'd I say? Spring Street on Mobile. Mobile on Spring Street.
Yeah, the Mobile
Allegiance
Station.
Auto Limits, Napa, of course, Paso Napa. They are the main sponsor of the whole group. So
Rainbow Auto Body.
Rainbow Auto Body.
Calderon's Auto Body.
Oh, Calderon's.
G&H Auto Body.
Thank you. That's it, right? So far?
I don't know. I wasn't listening when you... I didn't hear what you said first.
Oh.
If we missed you, call me.
But it's the Car Group Collective and... same group that put on the fundraiser for Paso Auto Wrecking and Mara. So amazing. We did the final tallies. We were able to fundraise over $15,000 for her, all thanks to you and everybody that showed up. So we thought, why not do a toy drive? Let's see what we can do with this and, you know, just keep giving. Shouldn't take a month off. Let's just keep it rolling. So that's exactly what we decided to do.
Awesome. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, Jimmy. I got a question, a little spot of ignorance, and it has to do with the octane changes in the gas. I understand what it does, a higher temperature ignition thing, and certain engines are designed like that. I just don't have a clear thought on whether it's worth it or not. If I'm looking at a car and it needs the premium gas, that's going to cost me more to run. Am I going to get something for that?
As far as, I guess, whatever your definition of getting something out of it. You mean, well, as far as performance?
Well, like a Beamer, and I want a Beamer, and all the Beamers run that. You got to accept that. Or you don't get more miles per gallon. You don't get your value per gallon back, do you?
Unless you want to call it smiles per gallon. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, the one thing about
to be an elitist.
Yeah, the one thing about BMWs, right? It's like you either love them or you don't, right? I'm not a huge fan of them. I think if you like them, cool. I mean, it's your thing. So if that's the car that you get in and then you're like, I could drive this every day, then yeah, maybe it's worth it. I think as far as technically, no. I mean, you're not getting better fuel mileage. You're not getting any more benefits out of it. And it is an extra cost, right? I don't know if maybe 8 cents per gallon more is really going to affect the cost of acquisition over.
What if I bought a Beamer and just put regular in it?
Well, it's a longer answer than I got here because I'm right up against a break. But I'll circle back to that right after the break.
I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Bye.
Let's go to the Eagle Energy Country Store.
You mean the big 76 at the corner there at Golden Hill Road and Highway 46?
Yes!
I want a sliced puppy.
I want a chicken bacon wrap.
I want a milkshake.
What's new at Eagle Energy Country Store Deli, you may ask?
Have you seen our $5 combo? For $5 out the door, you can get a heck of a meal deal.
You choose between a mini chicken wrap, two corn dogs, or three chicken strips.
And then it comes with a side and a 32-ounce fountain drink for only $5.
Speaking of fountain drinks, here at Eagle Energy Country Store, each time you fill up 10 gallons or more, you get a free fountain drink or coffee, any size we offer. Just show us your receipt and your fountain drink or coffee. Is on us.
This includes our awesome fresh brewed iced teas. We have a new fresh brewed watermelon tea to help quench your thirst.
Eagle Energy Country Store. We're located on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road, and we're open 24 hours.
A friendly reminder from your friends at Eagle Energy.
Wash your hands and don't be nasty.
Howdy, folks. John Whitford. You have heard about it. You've seen the rocket launches, but have you got it yet? I'm talking about Starlink Internet from SpaceX. Starlink is absolutely amazing. We've installed well over 1,000 systems and our customers love it. Starlink has big city speeds for folks in rural areas. Now you can stream unlimited video, game, and surf the web faster than ever before. Starlink has no data caps and no contracts. John Whitford Communications provides account setup, delivery, and professional installation. We handle it all. Did you know that you can share your Starlink Wi-Fi throughout your property? Yes, we provide property-wide Wi-Fi for barns, shops, buildings, cameras, and gates. Say no to hokey Wi-Fi, slow DSL, and expensive hotspots. Call me, John Whitford, for more details, installations, and orders. 461-3030, 461-3030.
We all spend a lot of our lives looking through glass. I'm Brian Carroll from A1 Glass, where our family of glass experts have been handling all things glass since 1992. If you're a homeowner looking to upgrade, A1 Glass sets the standard in our industry, using only the top brand names like Milgard. It's our dedication to a 5-star service that has made us the Central Coast go-to glass company. Contact A1 Glass today. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Ask A1 Glass about Milgard Windows and Doors full lifetime warranty
on select products.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
And welcome back to Gearhead Radio.
That was good.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
Good call.
I hope you're still here.
Good call. Good call before the break about octane. What do you know about octane?
I know that it's one of the most popular flavors of margaritas in Las Vegas. The Octane.
Okay.
Margarita. Everyone,
I didn't
for
even think about that.
Anyone that knows Fat Tuesdays in Las Vegas, you know. You know what I'm talking about.
I thought it was Call a Cab.
Ha 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 ha. No, okay, please enlighten us. Exactly what is Octane so we can, because that was a good question.
Does that mean there's eight things because it's Octane?
Maybe. You like, tell like me. You're the expert. It could be.
I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought you were going to know. Okay.
Okay, Octane rating. Let's talk about it. 87, 89, 91.
Oh.
What?
I was going to try and do the correlation because you just said 80 numbers, but then you said 91. Never mind. I was trying
to
make a connection.
Or I think sometimes you see 93. There's one here in town. They do the VP, the 101, right? And you think, oh, well, it's got a higher number, so it's got to be worth it. Well, it's not, unless your vehicle needs it. So this is a really difficult question to just blatantly say good or bad, black or white. And that's why I deferred this question until after the break. So we had a little time to really dive into it because it is important. And I think it's a big misconception, especially if you're not like a tech, you know, like a chemical engineer and understand how octane ratings work. So octane, raising the octane rating, or the anti-knock index, it doesn't change the energy content of a gallon of gasoline, right? So every gallon of gas has so many BTUs of energy, or British thermal units, right? So as you burn that gallon of gasoline, there's only so much energy that can come out of that. Changing the octane doesn't give you more or less energy. It's the same. It's the same amount. A higher octane rating indicates a greater resistance to knock, which is the early combustion of the fuel-air mixture that causes the cylinder pressure to spike. So, how do I explain
this? So, the faster the engine works, the higher octane you should get?
Well, think of it this way. So, if you have a piston in a cylinder and you squeeze and you're squeezing air, right? And you're trying to compress the air. Then you add a little fuel to it, right? So, now you have an air-fuel mixture that you're squeezing. Now, it's under a lot of pressure. And then you put a little spark in there, a little match. You light that and then it's going to what? It's going to explode.
Light up.
It's gonna light up. Yeah, it'll light up. Shine bright like a diamond. Say shine bright like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. Continue. Stop making me do weird things. Continue your lecture.
So now this pressure explodes because it's an air-fuel mixture, right, that's under pressure. Right? So as that cylinder comes up into the piston comes up through the cylinder and it's compressing that air-fuel mixture, if you have a really, really tight seal, or say like a dome piston, or you have some things going on that's allowing that pressure to get higher than a standard engine, right? Well, as it comes up through that piston, now you got to remember that cylinder is red hot, right? So as the engine warms up, you have heat there. And you know what happens when you have heat that you add to a pressurized air fuel mixture? It's going to explode before the spark ignites. So what do? You add an anti-knock compound to allow that pressure to build even higher. So now you have a higher compression engine.
So what do you have to decide? What are you looking for? Like, what's the data on the engine to decide what octane you need then?
You don't decide that. That's what the engineers do.
Yeah, but how does the consumer, like, what do they look up? Like, what do they Google? I have a 2000...
Well, it'll tell you there's manufacturer, you know, you look in your owner's manual, you open the gas door, it'll tell you right there, minimum 93, minimum 91. And then the engine itself has a lot of sensors. So they have what they call knock sensors, and the knock sensor is going to pick up early detection of any cylinder knock. So if it starts picking up knock, it's going to start changing the timing. So let's get into that side of it. So the reason why you want to elevate the internal the compression, right? Because you get more performance, right? The more you compress that air fuel, the higher the compression ratio, and the more power you get out of every. Now you can add on to that, and you can start adding boost to it. You can start adding more timing to it, right? So you can start delaying the timing even further to allow that to even compress even more. So you have sensors that detect that stuff, and as it starts knocking, it'll start adjusting the timing accordingly. But it's going to adjust it backwards to eliminate the knock. Now, if you added the fuel, like let's go extreme here. You add lead to it. Lead is like one of the most potent octanes there is that will allow that fuel to be compressed to the very max. So you add lead to the fuel, and now you can really start advancing the timing or adding a lot of boost, really start ramping up that pressure in that cylinder, which then gives you more power. And that's why they used leaded fuel for so long, because it was a great anti-knock agent. But as we all know, lead is not the best thing in the world to be breathing. So
no.
So now they have just higher, they've used different components to for octane.
So what, who has what kind of vehicle that actually should be paying attention to this? Or if you start to have an issue, if you start to have a knock, should you be switching fuel types? Should
if you be looking into it? If you're hearing the knock, then it's really bad. Most of the time, you're going to get like a check engine light. Like the knock sensor will set a code, or you will get a delay in performance. So if you have like a BMW that's a high-performance vehicle that requires 91 octane or higher, and you start running 87 in it, you will start noticing a performance change. For one, the computer is smart enough to pick up on that, and just like I was saying, it was going to adjust the timing. It will start retarding that timing to try to avoid that. So you'll be getting on the freeway. This thing just doesn't feel like it wants to go anymore. Well, it's the computer saving itself. Now, the difference, the points between 87 and 91, catastrophic engine damage is pretty, like, it's usually not going to be what's going to happen. But you are going to get a decrease in performance. And you are going to start noticing your fuel mileage going down because the fuel is being consumed. It's being burned in the cylinder before it's actually being used for energy, right? So as the cylinder is going up, that fuel is already starting to burn. And so you're not getting every, you're not utilizing every drop of fuel as a source of energy. Does that make sense? So if you use 87 instead of 91.
Picking it up.
Yeah. So you're just not being, it's not being efficient. Yeah. It's not being efficient anymore. Now, alternatively, if you have a vehicle that needs 87, you put 91 in it, you're just wasting money.
Because it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
You're not doing anything to the performance or function.
Right. And most of that fuel is just getting turned right out the tailpipe because it's not even building enough pressure to burn all that fuel. Right? So you actually want 87 because it'll allow all the fuel to burn so you get every bit of it, you know, out the tailpipe as an exhaust instead of as raw fuel.
I think that's an important key.
Yeah, so it's actually wasting. You're actually wasting money. Is it going to cause damage? No. I know I made it sound kind of dramatic, like all you get a bunch of raw fuel going and it's going to damage the catalytic converter and all that. No, that you're not having that much fuel being unburned, right? But you are not utilizing every drop of fuel because you're just not building enough compression in the engine to burn that fuel correctly. So
it's just wasteful and unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything.
Is your performance going to go down? No. Like you're probably not going to notice anything driving the car, but you're just going to not, your fuel mileage is probably going to go down a few points. So, and on that note, so say premium gas is about 60 cents more per gallon. If you're averaging 25 miles a gallon and you do say 15,000 miles a year, which is kind of 12 to 15 is the average, it's about $350 more per year to run premium versus 87. So if you're in the market for a BMW and $350 a year is what's going to sway you away from it, just don't buy the BMW because...
You shouldn't be buying a BMW if $350 is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because maintenance,
because
regular maintenance on a BMW is three times the cost.
Three times minimum a year else. Those things in the shop with like a $1,200 maintenance bill. So yeah. I think if you're looking at it just on the fact of between, you know, spending that extra $400 because you have to get premium, that is like the least of your worries when it comes to these premium luxury vehicles. Now, are they worth it? Probably. I've never owned one, but from what I understand, it's definitely worth the money. I don't know.
And that's a good little, let me just say one sentence as a segue. If you are looking at buying a new or used car, look at the maintenance costs of the car that you're looking at and not just general reviews. Look at the upkeep costs, oil change, transmission service, brakes, because there are some, you know, drastic differences between maintenance costs on certain vehicles. So just look that up before you make a decision.
It's the cost of acquisition or cost of the life of the vehicle, right? So life expense here, the general lifetime of the vehicle. Not just your service A, B, or C, but yeah, the general entire life of the vehicle, what it's going to cost to keep it on the road, oil changes, And part of that was like the year long oil changes that the manufacturers were trying to push. They're trying to keep the cost of acquisition down for these vehicles. So they said, oh, if you change your oil once a year, then look at how much money you're saving.
That doesn't help ridiculous. Prolong the life of your vehicle, though. Don't do that.
But that was one of the marketing tactics. Just so you know, that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make sure that the check engine light's never on. They try to do all these things to make they cost the lifetime of that vehicle cost less.
But you'll keep that vehicle for a less amount of time.
That's
if
true.
You don't maintenance it when it's supposed to.
We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau travels to Mar-a-Lago to talk trade and border security with President-elect Trump, afterwards telling reporters...
It was an excellent conversation.
Mr. Trump just days ago threatened Canada and Mexico with import tariffs unless they cooperate with border security measures. Cold air from Canada moving over the open waters of the Great Lakes, dropping feet of lake effect snow in western New York.
Expecting upwards of 2 to 3 feet of snow here, as much as 4 to 5 feet up in Watertown, New York, as the lake effect snow warning goes until 7 p.m. Sunday.
That's Fox Weather's Mike Seidel in Fredonia, New York. Israel's military says its aircraft have struck Hezbollah weapons smuggling sites along Syria's border with Lebanon today. It's the latest test of a fragile days-old ceasefire. America is listening to Fox News.
Hey, this is Maddie Work, a proud fifth generation of the Work Family Ranch. I invite you to get outside and enjoy God's beauty from the back of a trusty ranch horse. With deep roots in North County and over 25 years in ag tourism, we offer down-to-earth fun for the whole family. You might be wondering, how can we promise you a trusty ranch horse? Well, would you ride the same horses that have been serving our nation's warriors in the Mighty Oaks Legacy Program for over 10 years? I sure would. Come ride with us and experience the work thing we offer. Call 805-610-0961 or workranch.com.
Lindsay and Greg from K. John's Jewelry Company here. Greg and I have a strong military background. My stepfather, Dave King, is a retired Navy commander who served for 22 years.
My father, Gary Simpkins, was a fighter pilot who was killed in Vietnam. And my adoptive father, Lou Chatham, was a Blue Angel and is a retired two-star admiral who served for 31 years.
And my husband, Greg here, is pretty bad action himself. He's a U.S. Army Green Beret combat veteran, which means, well, he can't really tell me what that means. Needless to say, we love our vets. That's why we pay the sales tax for active duty and retired veterans.
And we're proud to have a huge selection of U.S.-made jewelry, which is rare in the jewelry industry.
And a shout out to the wives and family members of those who serve. We appreciate you too. I know firsthand what it's like to have your loved one overseas, so thank you for your service as well. We hope to see you and thank you in person this holiday season. Be sure to check out kjohns.com for our special holiday hours.
Tack and Shoes is kicking off the holidays by celebrating you, their customers. It's Customer Appreciation Weekend, and they're taking 10% off their entire inventory. Nothing held back. And that's not all. For every $100 you spend, you'll get $10 in Tackin's cash. So come on down to Tack and Shoes at the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso or 668 Marsh in San Luis Obispo. Come save on every item in stock at their Customer Appreciation Weekend sale going on now. Tack and Shoes, proudly serving the Central Coast since 1937.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about an escape, a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, we're going big this December at Chumash Casino Resort, giving away over $600,000 in cash and prizes. That'll jingle your bells. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawings every Sunday. And hey, welcome to freedom. Ho, ho, ho. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 or 99.3 FM. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. And today, and today only, Leanne is the trusty sidekick.
Plucky sidekick.
Or maybe you're the host and I'm the sidekick. I like that.
That's something.
Yeah, let's do that one.
No, let's keep you the host.
You know what? I'm going to kick back. You can take the show from here. I'm out.
So before the break, talk a little bit about octane and fuel. And I think the main thing is, if you don't need it, don't use it. It is not, it's not a premium as in it's going to make you run better. It's premium because if you have a premium vehicle, you need it. I don't know. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, good morning. Hey. Interesting discussion about compression and, you know, the fuel and all that.
I'm glad you found it interesting.
Yeah, well, no, I'm an old hot rodder and guy way back into the 60s and that sort of thing.
So you remember the leaded fuel.
We called it the flash point of the fuel was one thing. You know, in other words, when it will ignite.
Yep.
You know, and the other was the compression ratio of the motor. 8-1, 9-1, 10-1. 10-1 was considered high. 8-1, probably really low.
Yep.
And we just, you know, I know you did a very complex explanation, but I just look at it real simple like that. And so higher octane fuels at a higher flash point.
That's definitely one way to do it. You could also look at it as boost too. So the more dynamic compression, right? So even if you have a static 8.5-1, but you run in 15 or 20 pounds boost, then you have higher dynamic. So, I mean, there's so many ways to what they call skin a cat, right? Or try to explain this stuff. And it's so difficult to find something that everybody tries to visualize it.
For me. So,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, just for those out there. And now when you have a turbocharger on a car, that does ups the compression, doesn't it?
Yeah, the dynamic compression, right? So as it's running. So you know, you have your static, and then as it's running, your compression is going to change. If you're forcing a bunch of air into it, then, you have way more pressure going in.
Yeah, that's what I'd understood, that they had built motors. That's why they put compression. I mean, put the turbochargers on it, because they had low compression motors, and this got the horsepower back up.
That's right. Boost.
Yeah, boost, putting more in there. And like you said, it's rather dynamic. All of this is dynamic.
Yeah.
You start turning up 10,000, 8,000 RPM. It gets kind of interesting.
It's all good stuff. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, that's a good, simple way of putting it. 8-1, 10-1. Just different verbiage.
If you understand what that means, but...
Well, if you're a cook, you understand flash point too, and that might make sense.
Yeah.
You know, when you put things that way.
The higher the number, the more power.
More power?
More power. And that boost too, right? And it's like diesel. Like diesel takes a lot of pressure to burn, right? The flash point of diesel is actually very high, right? It doesn't burn like gasoline. It takes a little bit more, you know, heat to get it to actually light up. If you ever try to light diesel, the old diesel anyway, the new stuff is weird, but the old stuff that used to be stinky and like oily, you try to light it and just would not light. And when it did, it burnt kind of cool, where gasoline is always kind of that blue flame, right? So, but you put diesel under a whole bunch of pressure and it makes a whole bunch of power, right? Because that's what diesels are. They run a whole bunch of boost and a whole bunch of dynamic compression. A lot of pressure in the cylinders, and that's why they make that noise. That's why diesels sound like a diesel. Not the new ones, but the older ones, because that was engine knock. Literally the sound of a diesel running is engine knock. But there's no spark plug in a diesel. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the diesels don't have spark plugs, so they utilize that dynamic compression and just squeeze that air fuel mixture until it finally eventually pops, and that pop is the sound of an engine knock. And I won't go down the path of diesels, but just to kind of correlate that together. Anyways, you had other things you wanted to talk about.
I had some stuff, but I didn't know what news stories or what you had lined up, so I didn't want to take.
Oh. This is your show. I'm just the plucky sidekick. I guess one thing I got to bring up is a PSA. My mom wanted to make sure we talked about the cold weather.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what I want to talk about, too. So
we'll segue into that after I bring up my PSA.
Oh, sorry. See, I got excited.
So engines are warm and it's cold outside. You may have small pets or animals, maybe even rodents. So keep in mind, they're looking for somewhere warm. So a quick tap on the hood.
Make some noise.
Bang on the door. Yeah.
There's a lot of stray cats around. They're definitely going to want to crawl up there and try and stay warm.
Yeah, you don't want that belt squeal to be anything but just mechanical components.
Eee.
So, yeah.
Yikes.
Make sure you give it a little quick tap. These mornings are getting cold, and when you park your vehicle, it's nice and warm under there, and it stays warm for hours. So they look around for somewhere warm to hang out and take a nap, and they might not wake up when you just get in the car. So make a little bit of noise as you walk up.
That's definitely true.
Yeah. So now we'll segue into your cold weather segment.
Sorry. So we have seen quite a few vehicles come into the shop recently with charging system issues, whether it's the starter, alternator, battery, or combo of. It is a common running theme for winter, so I would like you to explain.
I thought this was your segment.
Works. No, well, it is. I'm delegating to you.
I don't know if you were
delegating.
Segueing your segment.
I'm segueing to you. I'm setting it up.
Say that three times fast. And
say what three times fast?
You just said it.
It.
Segue the segment. That was pretty good.
Thank you. So I want you to explain how charging system works and how do you decipher if it's the battery alternator and how quick things change also. 1 minute it's fine and literally the next time you start the car, it's immediate. How does that happen? How does that work for the people?
Magic.
Magic? Like Harry Potter magic?
Do you believe in magic?
I do.
Well, things work till they don't. That's for one thing. So in the auto industry, that's what happens. Unfortunately, you try to do your best checks and balances. You try to maintain stuff and just eventually things do just fail. When we're talking about battery and charging systems, you have your battery. We'll start with that, right? Most of them are flooded lead cell batteries. And so maintenance is important. Make sure you got water in there. Make sure you keep it charged. Cold weather, hot weather kills batteries. The lithium batteries too. It doesn't matter. The extreme temperature swings is usually when you're going to start finding issues with not just batteries, but all the electronics. One of the big ones that always happens in the cold weather too is ignition coils. So whether it's really, really hot or it gets really, really cold, one day you go out to start your vehicle after a freezing night and all of a sudden you have a misfire because one of your ignition coils failed. That's just, the cold kills the electronics. And it doesn't even have to be necessarily that cold, just once it dips below freezing. Now, batteries, I bring that up because batteries have a 0 degree rating and a 32 degree rating, right? It's a cold cranking amp, CCA. That's what it's rated at freezing. So they design the batteries that way. And so when you get down that cold, all the electrons, I don't know if I want to go real deep into this, but when you're talking about like on like the atomic level, right, the electrons, when it gets cold, all that stuff starts slowing down. And the electrons that pass from one atom to another, and that's the series of how electricity works, is the electrons actually shift from one atom to the next, to the next, to the next. It's like a daisy chain that goes all the way down. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But so as it gets cold, that reaction starts slowing down. And that's the reason why you have less cranking amps when it's cold versus when it's hot. So battery temperature is really important. In fact, you've probably watched shows maybe that or the diesel trucks, they just leave them running, you know, when it's like negative 40 degrees.
We can't shut them off.
We can't shut them off. For one, the oil just thickens up, so it's very hard to turn the engine over. And for two, the battery just doesn't work as well as it should. So cold weather really, really affects that stuff. What was your question?
Well, no, you're doing it. How does it work? And how do you know if it's the battery, starter, alternator? Like, are there tests people can do?
You'll never know by cranking it. And I actually made the mistake last week with that. We had one that that in the parking lot, it was acting as if the starter had failed. And we had tested the batteries just a week prior when the vehicle came in to pick up. Truck didn't want to start. And it just, you know, clicked. We got underneath, tested to make sure the solenoid was getting power, had a nice bright test light. Which indicates to me that we had a good state of charge. So we had 12 volts to the starter, but it just clicked and made sure that the solenoid, when you turn the key to start, that the light came on and off, right? So we knew we were getting signal to the starter. Wow, the starter decided to fail. That's fun, but, you know, I'm not really surprised by it. So we get a starter coming. In this case, it had two batteries. It was a diesel with two batteries. Well, we disconnected the system to isolate each component. And when we isolated one battery from the other, we found one of the batteries actually had failed. So, of course, the state of charge was good. We had 12 volts. But when it came to actually loading the battery and using those cold cranking amps, using the load out of the battery, that's when it dropped. So instead of having, say, 600 or 700, in this case, it was like 750 that it needed, it dropped down to less than 200. So it failed the cranking amp test. But when you release the key, take the load off the battery had 12 volts state of charge, right? So I don't know how I explain that. It's basically like I was talking about moving the electrons from one to the next, to the next, to the next. How quickly those move and how much energy it can be sucked out of that battery is one way to look at it. I don't have a really good analogy to explain.
So certain things just need to be tested on all fronts.
You really, I guess the main thing you got to do is you got to isolate components and test everything individually. You can't guess. You can't hope and pray. The only thing you can do is scientific testing, and that's really the only way to do it. And so if you were to isolate each battery and say, let's move on with this, let's take this scenario and say each battery we tested was good. Okay, so how do we find out that the actual starter is the problem? Right, so there's two different ways to do it. You can go to crank it, and if the load of the battery was able to support 750 cold cranking amps, so say we hit the key and all of a sudden our meter spikes, right? We have an amp clamp that's around the battery cable and it just buries the needle. It's using every bit of that cranking amps that it can out of that battery. Okay, so two options now. Either the starter motor itself is locked up, so you have the contactors there, they could be seized together, it could be stuck on one of the points where it's just, instead of spinning the motor, it's just using all that energy and sending it straight through the brushes because the brushes are shorted internally in that starter motor. Or here's the other thing that a lot of people miss. There could be something actually holding that engine from turning over. So say you have like a pulley that's frozen and it's not allowing the engine to turn over. Now you're using all that energy and the whole engine could be locked up, or you could have like a pulley that's seized. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now you're burying the needle using all the energy out of the battery. So now the batteries have the energy, but they won't turn over. So now you have to make sure that you can turn the engine over by hand. And if you can, then the only possible thing left is the starter motor. Unless, yeah.
But we'll continue this after the break because there's still some stuff to cover.
Unless.
Stay tuned.
And I'll be back.
We took our country back. Donald Trump is once again our president, and we all can smile. The depressing weight has been lifted off our shoulders. The war against the socialist agenda is not over, but we won this battle. Come give thanks and celebrate this Christmas season, December 2nd, with your friends at San Luis Obispo County Tea Party. Fun starts at 6 p.m. at Republican headquarters in Atascadero. Snacks and drinks served. Remember, Monday, December 2nd, 6 p.m. See you all there.
I am Central Coast attorney Dave Derringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me. If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Derringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105 or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
And we're back. You're tuning into Gearhead Radio. I appreciate you being here. What about you?
It's been a fun Saturday so far.
All right.
I always enjoy being here. It's a fun little difference for me.
Well, I wasn't saying you. I was talking to the listener.
Yeah, but then you looked at me and you said, what about you?
Yeah, are you happy they're here?
Of course I'm happy they're here.
Oh, good.
We wouldn't be here without you guys.
That's true.
Without you.
Well, I'd probably still be here. I don't know who's listening, but
We actually have no clue who's listening.
I just enjoy listening to the sound of my voice.
You guys, he listens to reruns of his own show. Just kidding. No, he doesn't.
I do have a podcast, so if you can't get enough of this.
Jimmy does a lot of talking. He's pretty good at it.
Go check out the Gearbox podcast on Apple, Spotify, all your favorite podcast listening apps. And you can check me out there too.
That's when you're really going to, you know, hear him talk and shine. If you call in the shop, you're actually going to talk to our two amazing service advisors, Kevin and Melissa. Of course, we are both there every day. You know, we fill in as necessary, but if you call the shop Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, you probably won't get Jimmy or I, but we're always there. We're always there working.
Sometimes the phone lines are just on fire, so.
Yeah, and then we fill in.
Yeah, sometimes we'll have four lines on and there's still another one beeping. And then some days the phone doesn't ring for 3 hours, but then on the 3 hours and 15 minutes, all five lines light up.
Everybody calls at once. Like, what is this?
It's a conspiracy.
You planned it.
But it's fun. I enjoy it. What was I talking about?
Starters, batteries, alternators. You didn't really talk about alternators too much, I don't think.
You trying to start something?
Yeah, I am. Vroom, vroom.
You trying to start something with me? Huh? Starters, yes. Engine locked up. Starters bad. Okay, I remember Blaise. Where I was.
Yep. You ended
so
there.
So the engine could be seized, right? So obviously that's a problem. You want to make sure you don't put a brand new starter on an engine that's locked up, or put a brand new starter on something that just needs. I've had a few vehicles in my lifetime where the actual bearing in one of the pulleys locked up, and the serpentine belt actually kept the engine from turning over as if it was locked up. So that's a lot cheaper fix than putting a starter in it. Well, it depends on the vehicle, but.
So test, don't jump to conclusions and
test, and then you really need to just know, like in the auto industry, now more than ever, being very, very comfortable and good with electrical is extremely important. Everything sensors and every sensor is the same in every vehicle. So if you know how a Hall effect sensor works, you know how a permanent magnet sensor works, you know how these sensors actually function and what they're being used for, that makes the diagnostic process much easier, because it doesn't matter if it's a Honda, Toyota, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, even into the Euros. Like electricity is always the same. It always acts the same. There's laws that it must, I mean,
abide by.
And not just laws where it goes to jail if it breaks them, like laws where it's actually, they're unbreakable. Like there has to be, there's methods to the madness of how it all works. And every manufacturer uses the same sensors, right? Like an ABS wheel speed sensor. Like that's the same permanent magnet sensor that's on every vehicle on the planet. No one changes that. Like, so if you know what the oscillation of that AC waveform out of that sensor is supposed to be, you can use that unilaterally across all the different vehicles in the world. It doesn't matter. Right? You got a wheel speed sensor fault. You know how the sensor works. You know what you're looking for. And if you know that pattern, if you spend enough time actually analyzing those waveforms and those patterns, you start noticing that, oh, the last time I replaced this because I had that one little discrepancy in the signal that meant that one of the tooth was bent, or the, you know, so you're not just looking at this waveform like, well, that sensor pattern doesn't look good. Let's put a sensor in it. Like, no, actually the pattern looks like it's a good pattern, but there's actually a deviation in that right there. So I bet you if we pull this apart, we'll find one of the teeth on the actual reluctor wheels bent. Right. And you start analyzing it. And that's just stuff that you cannot learn online or in class. You have to just see these failures and then know what you're looking for and know how that sensor pattern is supposed to look like, and then know that the differences that it makes, right? Another big one is using a scope to watch a firing pattern on an ignition coil. There's guys that are so good with these scopes, they can actually see just by how the energy flowing through the coil, through the spark plug, they can tell you if the engine's running lean or rich, because how the firing line across, watching the voltage drop through, it's just crazy. But it's because electricity is always constant. It always uses the same laws, and sensors are all the same. I know I went kind of off in a left field there with the diagnostic stuff, but the important thing is the electronics, is knowing how that stuff works. So when you talk about starter, battery, alternator, the other one is the alternator too. And that's the AC ripple waveform. So you can start, you know, really going in and diagnosing alternator problems before they actually turn into no charge events. Now, the AC ripple, there's a diode in there. The diode keeps the electricity from moving backwards. One of the biggest failures in a generator alternator is the diode failing, and that allows the energy to only flow out of the alternator. So once that diode fails, there's no longer a gate. So, you know, everyone's, you know, if everyone's allowed into the party, then it's not going to work good, right? So you want to make sure the door only allows the energy to flow one way, which is into the battery. You don't want the battery energy going back to the alternator, because then it's just wasted through the...
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's just wasted in the alternator itself. So that's one of the big failures. So doing an alternator test and then making sure that it can hold a load is the other one too. So you want to test it and then turn the headlights on and make sure that you put a little bit of a load on the alternator. It can still keep up, because sometimes they'll charge, right? You'll check the alternators. Oh, yeah, it's, you know, 13.5. We got good charging voltage. Well, load it up a little bit and see if it keeps up. You know, if you turn your headlights on and it goes from 13.5 down to 12.5, that's not a good alternator, you know. Now you have like high powered, you know, systems and all that stuff. If you go from, say, 13.5, 14, and then it drops down to 13 or 12.5 with like a big subwoofer and all the electronics on, well, that's different. And then you got to start testing the current amps that are coming out and make sure that is it maxing out its peak? Is it an 80 amp or a 100 amp alternator and it's at 12.5 charging at 100 amps output? Well, then you might just need a bigger alternator. And that's when you get like the 150 amp alternators or the 200 amp alternators. And that's because you have all these aftermarket components that are on there. Amperage and voltage are all directly correlated, right? So it's all the same.
Now, if you don't have any tools and you don't know any way to do that beyond calling a shop, is there a problem? Start the car, turn on the headlights, and then start rolling the windows up and down and start using other things. If the lights flicker, do you have a problem?
Well, not flicker, but you can just watch the gauge. You can just watch the gauge on your dash, right? So, yeah, if you have your headlights on, you start rolling the window up and down, you're going to see your voltage drop just a touch, right? But it should never get down. You always want to make sure you have at least 13 volts. That's kind of like the minimum. 14.5 is where you really want to be when you're charging. 13.5 to 14.5 is kind of the generic voltage output of an alternator during charging. You know, again, if you have a lot of like the heated seats going, your subwoofer is going, you're going to see that kind of creep underneath. But with the headlights on, you hit the window up and down. Just see if all of a sudden you see your battery gauge dropping down to like 12.5, and then as soon as you release the window motor, it jumps back up. Yeah, you could have an alternator charging problem.
So that's a good easy little trick.
But again, just don't go put an alternator on it, because you could have a bad ground. Right? You could have a ground.
Still get it checked.
You could have a ground that's not. So that's important to do electrical testing. Make sure you're voltage dropping your grounds, making sure that all the grounds are going back to the battery. And again, that goes back to just knowing how DC voltage works and how AC voltage works. Because in these vehicles, we're using AC voltage and we're using DC voltage. We're not just electricians in a house that's testing AC voltage. That's easy. You have to know how DC works and you got to know how AC works. So AC/DC is a great album to go listen to, like Back in Black.
It's good inspiration.
Yes, we have to be rock stars. How you like that segue?
I do like that segue. But I also had another question. Oh, I feel like I just lost it. I'm losing my brain. I'm following you so much. I'm trying to comprehend everything. Because just because I work in the shop, you guys, doesn't mean I know everything. I know customer service. I know how to research. And I know how our computer programs work. I know how bookkeeping works. I am not a technician.
She knows how to talk to people.
Even when I'm not on the show, I always listen to the show because I can always glean something.
I'm always teaching.
Always teaching. Most of the time I don't listen, though, because I do live with him. So, you know.
That's no excuse. It's no excuse for you either. Make sure you're always tuning in at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning to check out Gearhead Radio, because you never know what you don't know.
You never know what's going to come out of Jimmy's mouth. It's a lot of good stuff.
I appreciate you being here. I look forward to seeing you guys next Saturday. Keep an eye out for us at the Christmas parade, and we'll see you at Daniel's Woodland for the Toy Bank car show.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.